This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job. I've interviewed people who have pretty unique jobs, but today's guest might be the uniquiest. Fireball Tim Lawrence has helped design some of the coolest cars in movie history, and he is also the artist and publisher of a series of car-themed coloring books and collectible trading cards that gearheads young and old absolutely go nuts for. His personality is as colorful as his artwork, so please welcome Fireball.
I'm not sure if I should say good morning. I was taken aback by the word unique. I've been called a lot of things, but never that word. That's pretty awesome.
Okay, good. So you've got a couple of super interesting things that you've done and continue to do. If you could, for the good people, could you rattle off maybe five or so cars that they've seen in movies and TV that started with you sketching on a piece of paper?
Yeah, for sure. The first film that I did where it kind of hooked me was the movie Batman with the Michael Keaton version from 1989. That was just a few sketches, and those sketches were taken to finish when I wasn't involved in the build or anything, but you know, when I was called to come look at the car, it was, you know, an eye opener to see your sketch come to life so quickly.
And by car, really you're talking about the Batmobile.
Correct. Right. Yes. The first Batmobile for the first movie. And then, you know, so you get that hook and you're like, holy cow, that was easy. Let's do that again. Well, it was never quite that easy ever again, but it certainly was rewarding. So, you know, I worked on films, everything from Knight Rider, the new Knight Rider, to Austin Powers, Jurassic Park, Avengers, Son of the Mask, which is, you know, the world's worst sequel to any movie. But in Hollywood, we always say the movie may suck, but the cars are always cool.
That's saying a lot, too, if you throw in The Godfather Part 3 to say it's the worst.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I suppose there are some sequels that are pretty bad, but you know, when you create a movie or a sequel to a movie and you don't use the star and you do it 10 years later and you put somebody in that no one ever, you know, doesn't really know that well. And, you know, it's a lot to live up to. But, you know, the car itself, you know, I mean, my basic job is to, as a car designer in film, isn't what you would find when you work for Toyota or Honda or something like that. You know, to create character cars is to give personality to vehicles, and I get to do that on a daily basis, so it's quite a blessing.
So, how does one get started in the I'm going to design cars for movies business?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I would say, you know, when I was a kid, my parents gave me die-cast toys and art supplies. And they gave that to me because they knew that's what I loved. So they fed my passion. I think that's important for any parent, that when you see your kid doing something that they love to do, you really need to feed that. Mm. So if they love boats, then you need to feed them boats, you know, and boat experiences and things like that. Anything that is going to expand their mind, creatively speaking. The reason that people become entrepreneurs is because they're addicted to the creative process. You can be an entrepreneur and be a chef. You can be build business plans. You can be a car designer like myself. But when I was a kid, all through school, the one thing I got in trouble with more than anything else was drawing in the back of class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I carried around a stack of index cards with me, and any chance I got, I would sit as far away from the teacher as possible. And I would draw these crazy ass cars in the back of class. And So, you know, I don't think that you necessarily could say, well, if you did this and this and this, you know, when you're young in Hollywood, you'll become a car designer. I think it starts a lot sooner than that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a kid and you're listening to this, or if you have kids and they love cars, it's going to be a very rewarding life because the car world is as diverse as we are as individuals. So, you know, my passion wasn't necessarily cars. My passion was, you know, if James Bond had a car, what would it look like? If there was a car in Star Wars, what would it look like? So taking what is normal and turning it on its ear. And then that led to what my business currently is. And it flourishes because, you know, we get to explore that creative process on a daily basis.
That's so awesome. And, you know, so Fireball and I have spoken before, and I thought it was kind of amazing the way that you're looking through, I think, a newspaper, or you saw an ad that literally said, hey, you want to design a movie car? And that's kind of how that's how your first gig started, which is seems
yeah, it
insane.
Was, well, yeah, it was pretty weird. And, you know, you look back on it and you say, like, I can't believe that happened. And if you told someone that story, they really don't believe you, you know. But, you know, when you're in college and you see a piece of paper that says, you know, rent this apartment, and it's got all these phone numbers that are cut on the bottom, you just rip one off and you take it home and you make a call. Well, this one, you know, I went to Art Center College of Design back in the early, mid early 80s. And there was when I was about seventh term, there was an ad that says design a movie car, and had all these phone numbers on the bottom. So someone had just placed it up there. I ripped one off and I called the number. It ended up being Anton Furst, which was the production designer for Batman. And at the time, you know, he wasn't even on the movie. It was something that was very early. There was no indication that the movie was really going to go. But he said, I just want a couple of sketches for a Batmobile. And the key word wasn't, you know, in the TV series, everything was campy, although they wouldn't tell you it was campy when they did the series.
Right.
It just was kind of, you know, being that way. But the one word I remember was intimidation. It was, you know, this is more of a serious, you're never going to see this car in the daytime, only in the nighttime. And it needs to have its own personality. It needs to look intimidating when it's just sitting there without Batman in it.
Right, right.
And not
right.
Something that you want to approach. So
right.
I did a few sketches, and I, you know, I think it was really, you know, the creative process is always best when it's come from inside out. You know, that when you're, you know, a lot of times when you're assigned something that you have to do as a designer, and the pressure is on, whether the pressure is a lack of time or the pressure is a lot of money, so you're kind of on the hook for something, then you feel that pressure to work from your head. You know, how do I figure this out? How do I come up with a unique design? How do I solve this problem? But when you take a step back as a creative person and you allow that inspiration to bubble up, then true ideas really flow. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people in the world, you know, those being the Elon Musks and the Richard Bransons of the world, that really understand, and Gary Vee, to understand that flow comes from inside. Mm-hmm. And if you allow that to bubble up, then, you know, really incredible ideas. And I think naturally, even by accident, I just kind of allowed that to happen because I didn't have any time. I was working and doing schoolwork, and I think he paid me $250. It was like, oh my God, I'm a professional. I got paid $250, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and you follow that lead. And I had a tremendous mentor, which was a guy named Sid Mead, who designed all the cars for Blade Runner. And I sat by his side in the early 80s while he did, you know, illustrations for all those movies. And I learned a tremendous amount about the design world from him. And this one thing led after another. You know, I went to work for Disney Imagineering right out of school, designed a lot of vehicles for shows and everything from Indiana Jones and that stuff. And then into the movie industry after that.
It's so awesome. And I love that it's that underrated technique, or just sort of letting things happen rather than like totally analyzing every detail of what you're trying to do. Like, putting your paper to your pen to paper and seeing what happens, you know, I think is applicable in so many, as you said, in so many fields.
Well, you know, stress is a key factor. Is that, you know, it's very difficult to solve problems when you're under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But you know, my wife builds mascot characters, and she's been doing it for 40 years. She did all the Nintendo characters for all the commercials. I'm actually Super Mario in those commercials.
Is that right?
Hysterical. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we were under contract with Nintendo, and I couldn't tell anybody that Fireball was Super Mario for almost 25 years, you know?
Wow.
So our life is pretty weird, but you know, when you allow that inspiration to, if you establish what it is that you're trying to solve,
yeah,
and then you have some faith that it will be solved. You know, a lot of the times the answer will come to you when you first wake up, or the middle of the night, yep, or maybe when you're taking a shower or you're on the pot or something, you know, and you know, you allow that to happen and you go like, wow, that's, and you know, it's the right answer.
Right.
When you say it, you go like, that's it. That's the one. That's what I've been searching for. Right.
That's yep.
And it's not just design problems. You think it's still the same way when you're going to marry somebody or when you're going to, take a trip. You know, if you don't feel sharp, like this is the right thing to do, absolutely, unequivocally, then you have to have the faith and trust to take a step back and not try to solve the, you know, just kind of allow the problem to be solved on its own. And it generally does. That's been my experience.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about this, these coloring books, which are, you know, they're, you know, kids will love them, but, you know, car collectors love them. Adults love them because they're not exactly what you would think. There are some that are geared more towards kids, but, you know, you've got one that's about station wagons or different things like that. And what sort of led you down the path to say like, hey, people really like this and want this. And how many do you have now? Over 30, I think.
I'm currently working on my 39th book with a company called Superfly Autos in the UK. It's all custom cars. I'll circle back to that one. But, you know, when we first started, you know, as a designer, you know, most of the time it's about your art. You know, I mean, you're going to create a piece and to solve a problem, things like that. But when you become an entrepreneur and you're not a gun for hire anymore, you start your own business, which we did many years ago. And my company is Fireball Publishing. And we decided, you know, the great thing about coloring books, and number one, is that your art becomes their art the moment they begin to color it.
Mm.
So, you know, when whether you're an adult or a child and you color in a piece that I drew, once it's colored in, you rip it out, you put it on the fridge and you say, hey, look, I did that.
Right.
You know,
yep.
And that's a really great way to inspire. And the problem that I had was, you know, when we first started, the reason I did coloring books is because there was really only two companies that were doing them. One was a company called Bendon, and they do rainbows and ponies, and then Disney, which does all their properties. But nobody was doing the subject that I loved, which was cars. And so, you know, and to cater to the specific enthusiasts, because the car enthusiast base is the largest base in the world.
Mm.
You know, you can't put a guy that loves football, a guy that loves hockey, a guy that loves baseball in the same room and expect them to really get along and understand each other. But
right.
you can put a guy that loves vintage and classic, a guy that loves Hot Wheels, and a guy that loves muscle car in a room, and they'll talk all day long.
Right. True.
You know.
Yeah.
So no one had coloring books for station wagons. No one had the idea of doing a coloring book that was, you know, something really strong, really hot for Mustang. And, you know, in the Mustang enthusiast base in their club is 1.4 million strong. It's huge.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
Right.
So the goal is to do, you know, the initial first goal is to hit 100 books, to do as many unique brands as we can. And that started to lead to partner books. And our first partnership book was with Tony Dow, and Tony played Wally on Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big car enthusiast. And he said, you know, it'd be really fun to have my own coloring book. And he had a really big audience. So we did this book with him and the audience loved it. It opened up the whole idea of doing books for companies and, you know, and you just kind of have to answer that question. As an example, if we were doing a coloring book with Entrepreneur, you'd have to come up with something really unique. And I do have a cool idea, by the way.
Ooh.
But but you know, when you're trying to give something to an enthusiast base that really understands what that base is, you have to be that base, you know. And so when you buy a standard coloring book on Amazon or something, and it's been drawn by somebody overseas, and it's, you know, it doesn't look that great, where, you know, they say it's a 1965 Mustang, but it's got a bumper from a 67, or,
okay,
you know, they're going to scrutinize. So you have to make sure that you understand, you know, this enthusiast base in a way. And the only way to do that is that you are that enthusiast base.
Yeah, right.
So I love cars, and, you know, and I thought this would be a great way to be able to share unique images, allow people to share their passions, and to do, you know, everything from unique brands to fish out of water ideas. So like modified station wagons,
mm-hmm.
or celebrate. You know, what we're doing with Superfly is that we're holding a worldwide contest right now, and people are sending in their cars that they built for a chance to win. And if they win, 19 people will win that have their car drawn, and it'll end up in the coloring book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really fun, and people are going crazy right now on Facebook and Instagram, and they're sending their stuff in. And it's kind of cool. It's like you have your car immortalized in a coloring book so that everyone can color it. You know, it's pretty awesome.
That's great. Well, I hope your entrepreneur idea involves a drawing of me at the in the podcast booth, because I think what kid would want to color in that?
Right. Well, you know, a while back we came up with this idea with that. We thought it was really nuts, and the idea was to do the billionaire's coloring book, and it's all images of, since it's car based, you know, it'd all be those super high end cars parked in front of yachts and all these kind of things. But then you sell the book for $50. You know,
you make it
so, you know, incomprehensibly expensive for a coloring book that with a gold cover and all kinds of silliness, you know. And the more I talked about it, the more my wife said, you know, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
You should really do that.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that off microphone.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. So you've been
really fun.
You've been doing this for quite a while, obviously. And, you know, well, I guess the question is, with coloring books, has the current state of the world affected your sales? Are more people coloring these days?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I feel, you know, it's a hard thing in today's society with everything that's going on to try and navigate, because everybody's goal is to try to add something of value to their life, to feel mm-hmm. that they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, to feel that the things that they're doing and the things are going to work out. And I found that the quickest way to add value to your life is to give to someone else, because you're not thinking about yourself. How do you solve your own problems? You're trying to help someone. And through that process, you naturally tend to attract situations that allow you to do more of that. So I believe if you look at someone like Gary Vee, the reason that he is as successful as he is because he gives so much of value to his enthusiast base.
Right.
Whether he's giving philosophical trends, whether he's giving products, whether he's giving advice, you know, these are very important things. I think the key thing as an entrepreneur, that your success is really dependent on your ability to find ways to add value to society, you know? So in answer to the question is that, you know, if people are forced to stay home or they have to be encapsulated in this place, then you have to give them something of value to do that allows them to alleviate the worry and anxiety that they have over, you know, what might be out there.
Right.
And color, we found that coloring is very therapeutic. It keeps you present. It keeps you creative. And we, as a result of that, you know, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. There's a lot of people that are losing their restaurants and their businesses. And it's very sad and it's very difficult because they're dependent on people being able to go out and experience the world.
Right.
But for us, it's the opposite. We're experiencing a tremendous amount of prosperity and good fortune because we're providing something that they can do at home.
Yep.
And add some value to their lives, as well as, you know, children being able to color. And, you know, you have a child color something in, they give it to their parent. Their parent says, "Great job," puts it on the fridge. That's tremendously powerful for that child.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it says, "I can."
Yeah.
And it says, I am an artist, and I feel good. And ultimately, what we all want in society right now is just pipelines, avenues for which we can feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a challenge when you're being constantly told that you can't do this, you can't do
right.
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to concentrate on what you can do. And this is what we're trying to do.
Well, that's awesome. That's so great. And, you know, for people who are listening to this and maybe getting acquainted with Fireball for the first time, I would heartily recommend, if you're into cars or art in any capacity, to check out his website at fireballtim.com. You can see
right.
all of the different coloring books. You've got these trading cards. You've got an incredibly passionate audience on all the Facebook, on all the social media channels. So,
well, we're very fortunate. You know, they're really amazing people, you know, and we just want to be able to give to them in as many, you know, avenues as we can. We do a lot of physical shows, a lot of car shows. We have a car museum that's in here in Southern California called the Murphy Auto Museum, that people can visit. And then, you know, for the times that they're stuck in home, that at least they have, the coloring books and I think the trading cards are cool. That's something I grew up with. That's really fun to do. And there's kind of a resurgence with it. So we're just trying to share our love, our passion for cars as best we can.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Fireball Tim, so awesome talking to you. Check out all the stuff we just talked about, because it will, if you love cars, you're going to love Fireball. So thanks so much. Appreciate it. And talk again
Thank
soon.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. And
okay.
Don't forget
all right,
that idea of me in a coloring book. I want to see that.
You got it. I'll get to work on it right away.
Great. All right.
All right.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review. Give us a share. Don't make me beg, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.